There are several people I probably could have picked on. But I needed somebody with some enthusiasm and some willingness to try the unusual. So we're going to have a setup, and then I'm going to start again. So you have to pretend for a moment that in just a minute you're going to see a television show. And it's one of these, buy it now because there are only 42,000 left. And you may be the last one to get this item. So you want to keep that in mind. However, with this particular show, which happens to be called, well, I'll tell you in just a minute what it's called. There's an unusual thing that happens, and that's a salesman who is going to get 30 seconds to try to sell you this product. The problem with that is the salesman doesn't know what it is. So they're going to do their best. Jack is going to do his best to sell you on this project, this product, even though he doesn't know what it is. And then you will have the opportunity to ask questions of him. The idea here is don't give it away. Leave him in the dark. And so that everybody else knows, you have to face the front, Jack. Everybody else knows, I'll show you what the item is here. So we all know what it is. And this is what Jack is trying to sell. Okay? But he doesn't know, so we have to be quiet. Okay. So, this is the famous item, and it's in the Jack bag, we might notice. I thought that was appropriate. Okay. Let's see. Welcome to the IGNC television program. I've got no clue. We are here to sell you this last item on our auction. It is a fabulous item. I'm sure you will all want it. And to present all of its great moments and its value, we have our top salesman, I Am Trying, who's going to give his best shot for 30 seconds at telling us all about it. I Am, you're up.
All right, let me get your attention right here real quick. Now, you know that this product here, it cannot be duplicated. There is not another one like it in all of the world. You have the privilege. You have the honor. You may be the only one, the one and the only, to be able to get this item. This item is so stupendous. People are talking about it around the world. Wouldn't you like to have this? Oh, $49.95. No. Not $49.95. Not $19.99. For $9.99, this product can be yours.
Thank you, I Am. Any questions for I Am here? You want two? There we are. Good. Well, we can arrange that. We'll get credit cards. Thank you, I Am. You may take a seat. Okay. Now, that may seem a little ridiculous at the moment, but what would you imagine that has to do with a spiritual application? Because there is one, and we're going to get there. It's some motivation. Yeah, if you don't know what you're selling, it's kind of hard to sell it. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about tonight. So let me give you some real-life situations now. You come upon a group that is making fun of another Christian's faith. What do? You happen upon a discussion that Christian morality is out of date and is old-fashioned. How will you defend it? You and a friend are talking and they say that education and knowledge are the answers to all of mankind's problems. What do you say to them? Then you have the age-old one that someone says, well, Bible is a nice piece of work, but it's full of contradictions and fairy tales. What do you say? You see a group pressuring someone else to go party with them after work. How do you encourage? What do you say? See, those are all instances where you could be involved if you just know what to say. Have you ever had that experience that says, 2 days later, you remember what you should have said? You know? We've all been there. And so, understanding what's happening right in front. What do we do to get away from the pressures of our world? How is it that we escape, in a sense, from those pressures? What are the things that we try to do as a body and as congregations that are united together to try to encourage us in these areas? We meet together on a regular basis. That's one way we do it. How else do we do it? We have what? Potlucks. There we are. We got potlucks. Get them potlucks rolling. Boy, that'll teach us a lot. We have admonitions. Absolutely. And what? We pray for one another. Absolutely. We have campouts like Eminence. We have 2-week Bible studies once a year where people come from all over the place. We have Rick studies, concentrated studies here. And what happens after every one of those? What is our resolve? To do better. And as soon as we get in the world, what happens? We forget or we don't do better. And therein lies our problem, I think. We have been approaching this totally wrong for centuries. So tonight, we're going to look at another way of approaching the pressures that we have. And so tonight's lesson is called the Minority Report. Because we are the minority. And we're going to report out what we have learned. So what I need is a couple of people to hand out some papers. Like I said, you need... Tom, thanks. You want to get your Bibles out and turn it to Philippians, the first chapter? Philippians, the first chapter, is the first thing we're going to look at. And as we have that read to us, starting at, as you see on your outline, verses 12 to 30, I'd like for you to consider a couple of things as you listen to it read. And there are things that you probably already know, but listen again to what's happening. What was Paul's situation? And how did that situation affect his outlook, his lifestyle? What was going on? Because we need to understand what was there. I've asked two people to read for me. Stephen is going to read the first section, verses 12 to 30, and then, 12 to 18, and then Dale will read 19 through 30. So, Stephen, if you'd come on up, please.
Brothers, I want you to know that what has happened to me has helped to spread the good news. I am in prison because I am a believer in Christ. All the palace guards and everyone else knows this. I am still in prison, but most of the believers feel better about it now. And so they are much braver about telling the good news about Christ. It is true that some preach about Christ because they are jealous and bitter, but others preach about Christ because they want to help. They preach because they have love, and they know that God gave me the work of defending the good news. But others preach about Christ because they are selfish. Their reason for preaching is wrong. They want to make trouble for me in prison. But I do not care if they make trouble for me. The important thing is that they are preaching about Christ. They should do it for the right reasons, but I am happy even if they do it for the wrong reasons. And I will continue to be happy.
Well, I wish I could read that good. For I know, continuing in verse 19, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me.
And so what do we see? What is Paul's situation here? He's in prison, obviously. What else is going on? Yeah, people are taking advantage of his situation. He's making lemonade out of lemons and what? Oh, he's taking advantage of the situation. And everybody's working around, aren't they? So how did it affect his outlook? Yeah, he is positive, isn't he? Do you find that surprising? Not for Paul, but is it surprising for us? Do we kind of get down in the mouth at times when we think about how terrible things are going and how we're not growing and how hard it is out there in the world? You get kind of down in the mouth. I'm sure you can agree with me that we don't have near the problems he was having. Okay? So what I'd like to do in our time left is I'd like for you to turn over to the second chapter then. And I think the lesson that we can get, the minority report here, is what Paul calls these people to be. So I'd like for you to look through Philippians, the second chapter, the first 18 verses. You can do this by yourself or with somebody else or with three or four or five other people. So feel free to move around if you're by yourself or if you're just a couple and you want two more minds. And in those 18 verses, I'd like for you to very quickly draw out things that Paul encourages us to do. In other words, what does Paul say to change our lifestyle? To change our attitude? What does he tell us? You got just about 5 minutes to do that very quickly, and then we'll talk about that. So get busy. I know it's a little short on time, but we can get an idea of what's going on, and then you can continue this process. So give me some of the things that you heard or you saw in this passage. United in purpose. What else? I'm sorry. Don't be selfish. Humility. Obedient. What?
Servant.
Servant or service? Either one. Okay.
Look out for the interests of others.
Good. A second here, I'm bowing behind. And what'd you say, Tom? Okay, that's about all we got time for, but there are more there. But I want you to notice the difference in the two lists. That was really my point. The difference in the list. How we normally try to tell others to arm ourselves. And are these things not important then? Well, that's not what we're saying, is it? They are important. But we forget that that's not the only thing that we have in our rights, in our abilities. There's a whole list of things, and we didn't complete them all. In fact, we're not done. That's the reason you have 20 more verses in there, 20 more things that you can do to change your attitude about how you approach people, about how you share the word, about how you deal with your own struggles. They're there. We have lots of options. And so the minority report is simply this. We are the minority, that's true. But we have been using a minority of the skills and talents and the options available to us. It's time for us to begin looking for the majority of the options available to us. And to begin focusing on all of the riches that we have, rather than just such a narrow view. So this was just an opening. A little opening. Begin to look. Begin to think. Begin to examine your own life. And figure out what it is that I might be able to change. What is it that I could put into my life on an easy basis and make a difference in the way things are going? It's a great list. It's a great passage. It gives us hope and encouragement. And it lets us know why the Apostle Paul, in prison, bound, was full of confidence. Because it wasn't the space that limited him, was it? It was your brain that limits you. It's not the circumstances that limit us. It's what our will and our desire decides to do. That's the minority report for tonight. If you're outside of Christ, we encourage you to consider Jesus Christ. Because once you take Him on, you have power over all this world. Because you have eternal life. If you would like to share something with the body, if you have a need of prayer, would be honored to serve you. So if you'd let us know as you come forward to these front pews, as we stand and sing that song that Ed suggested to us.